Hi, I'm Mike Millard of Group Health North, and this is Benefits Genius Podcast number 26.
Hey, it's Howard Kettner, and if you're wanting to be more efficient and effective every day, personally and professionally, this podcast with Dave Patriarch of Mainstay Insurance and CGIB is definitely for you. For probably 3 months now, Dave and I have been having one-off informal conversations about practical tech tools and apps that we've stumbled across and then ended up using to cut through the noise and stay in touch with our audience quicker and easier than traditional tools or techniques would allow. And then there are those tools that help us to run our businesses more efficiently, with less risk and better security. In the conversations we've been having, at one or more junctures, either Dave or I will remark, "This app makes me appear better and smarter than I really am." And hey, isn't that the point? When you hire someone, you don't want someone with the same skills that you have. You want that person that is better at meeting and greeting, or better with technology, or better organized than you are. It should be the same criteria when you choose a tech tool. So here goes. Stay tuned.
Well, here we are, talking about one of our all-time favorite subjects, Dave. Technology, of course, and what we're doing to make us a better version of ourselves. You know, I set a little bit of context in my introductory comments. Have I got it right? How do you see it?
Yeah, you know what? I would not be in business if we didn't have the technology that we have right now. It wouldn't allow me to stay in touch with clients as well. It wouldn't let me be as efficient as I am. We wouldn't be having this conversation, creating a podcast from opposite sides of the country almost. And, you know, at the end of this conversation, I'm going to shoot you a file through a WeTransfer that you can then produce and put it on the web. Like, you think about what's involved in doing just this podcast and how many people it reaches out to. There's your technology right there.
It is, because you mentioned WeTransfer, because this is going to be a monster file.
Yeah.
And it's not something you can just attach to an email. And so I think one of the things is, as we go through this and touch on a couple of our favorite applications, we'll chat a little bit about the cost perhaps. But really what we're talking about is either free or as close to free as you're going to get from a business perspective. I mean, WeTransfer is in the range of, I don't know, I think it's 19 or 25 bucks a month or something.
And it's, I mean, it's free up to 2 gigs or something like that. So,
right.
You know, you can handle quite a bit with 2 gigs, with the average person. And I think the big one's up to 20 gigs, if I recall. So, yeah, that's a lot of data. And it's almost free, like you said. Like, I mean, if it's not free, it's the next best thing.
It's super reliable. All the little notifications built in. It'll send me a note telling me I've got a file ready to download after you send the podcast over. It'll signal back to you that I've opened it up and I've downloaded it. And if I happen to be busy the rest of the day, it hangs on to it for 7 days. And it's there when I'm ready.
And just because we're just going to finish on this WeTransfer one, I looked it up while we're talking because of great technology. It's $12 a month, U.S., I think is the price. Or you can do an annual rate and stuff like that and get some savings and everything. But that's close to free if you are transferring larger files to people, clients or between brokers or whatever.
And so, again, like I mentioned in my introductory comments, I mean, you're running a really nice benefits practice with no permanent staff on a foundation of great technology that you rely on day in and day out. What are number one, two, and three, and it can be in any particular order in terms of your favorites or your standbys?
So it's funny because the way you just said that made me think of a couple of things. My one, two, and three that I had already for this podcast, are not the one, two, or three that are in my head right this minute. The one, no, just because, you know, the way you, you kind of couch it, 20 years ago when I started, I had an old Mac computer that had, just to put it in perspective, an external 40 meg hard drive. And as hard as I tried, and I save everything, I could not fill that external 40 meg hard drive. And so I built a database program through with FileMaker Pro, which was an off-the-shelf Mac program for my CRM that tracked all my prospects and all my clients and all their stuff, and I use it to this day. It's evolved and been upgraded a bunch of times. When I wake up in the morning and sit down at my desk, I turn that on and it tells me what my calls are, what my renewals are, what my tasks are, and everything for the day. So if there is one piece of technology that's kept me great at running the business by myself and being home-based, and to be fair, I do have group MGA I work with that helps with renewals and things, but that's been around for 20 years. That's probably it. Now, since then, there's been a lot of great programs, you know, the sales forces and acts and gold mines, and then they've evolved off into a lot of new ones, and that we're going to kind of do some of that at the CGIB seminar this fall. But that ability to manage your clients, the relationship, the follow-ups and all that kind of stuff is probably the most important. I didn't put that on this list only because it wasn't expensive. I think it was like a couple hundred, $300 maybe, and a bunch of, you know, development time that I did myself. But the ones I put on the list are ones that are free or next to free that you can use every day, that everybody can pull down. There's no special training needed. And they're ones that will make you much more efficient and effective right away.
And I'm glad you brought that up about a CRM and its importance in the business. There are some great CRMs out there, and you mentioned three of them right off. But often I find that advisors who are looking at updating or even using a CRM that they own for the first time, maybe the advisor came from an insurance company and was beholden to that system, are looking for something that's super simple. And I would just encourage advisors to really look at something, particularly at the beginning stage, that is very easy to use. HiRISE is one that I know a number of the members of our Benefits Genius community use.
Zoho is another one that's free to try, and then once you get up to a certain point, it's like $10 or $20 a month, like next to free, and it's doing all the backups and cloud storage and stuff like many of them are now. Salesforce has even gone that route as well, so it's all web-based, so you can get your access to your files from anywhere in the world and stuff.
Sales is the primary focus at that stage for the folks in the business that are sales focused. There's some great sales specific, very economical CRMs, including one called PipeDrive, which I think is the princely sum of $12.99 a month US.
Yeah.
And completely customizable by a beginner.
Yeah, and then some of them, if people are already using programs like SurveyMonkey or MailChimp or whatever, a lot of those programs will integrate into those as well. So if you've already done an email marketing campaign or something and want to kind of integrate that data, you can do that and stuff. So, and sometimes it's overwhelming how much there is. People kind of get lost in the shuffle. So your first comment is 100% right on. Keep it something really simple. My whole basis of my system was a recipe card, and it basically had the name, the company name, my contact, and, you know, all that information. And, you know, I just had a big shoebox, basically, that had all these recipe cards. And it, you know, you'd say, okay, I'm going to follow up in June. So you put that in June. And when you got to the June pile, you just sort it into days of the week or whatever, and when you were going to call everybody. And that's basically what my database became, was just a great big electronic version of that, you know, recipe card and shoebox system. There's a lot of great stuff.
As we go down and frame the context for this, because I'm just realizing that we're dumping a bunch of information here on our audience, and it's certainly one of the outcomes is paralysis by analysis.
Totally.
And so after selecting what one believes to be the best solution, and then one goes one step further and goes, now which of these software providers is still going to be in business 2, 3, or 5 years from now after I've set up all my stuff on it? My suggestion would be to go with that axiom of shift fast. Like, pick one, $12.99 or $19.99 isn't going to break the bank.
Yep.
Start using it, The data is typically, you can port it over to something else, you can save your hard data, and we're going to talk a little bit about that here on the podcast. And just jump in and start using it. And I love your reference back to the 3x5 cards. Don't need all the bells, don't need all the whistles. Before even starting to look, determine what information it is we're really wanting. What is it that we expect as an outcome? Grab the first, second, or third one that catches your eye and
go. And it'll evolve over time. Like, I mean, I remember starting and 90% of what's in my database wasn't there. Like, I mean, it was tracking, you know, when I called somebody and some really basic stuff. And then over the time, I, you know, added what insurance company were they with and how big, how many employees were they? And, you know, one field after another slowly got added. And, you know, people would say, okay, well, how's that a great marketing tool? And I'd say, well, I can go onto my database, search all my prospects that are with, you know, XYZ insurance company. And if XYZ insurance company just did something great or something terrible, then I can go out to them and say, hey, you're with XYZ and they just got merged or bought up or did this or did that, and beat their broker to it every single time. Because the moment I got that email from that company with an announcement, I could be out to every one of my prospects. And you go, you know, want to start a relationship? Be faster than their broker on every single news release and stuff like that. So as you evolve, you kind of go, hey, I can track some information that might be useful, but hey, it may have a whole other marketing aspect we never thought about. But you don't have to. Like, I mean, we keep coming down to that paralysis analysis thing. There's a lot of really, really simple stuff. Like, can I branch us off a different direction for a minute?
Absolutely.
Which we do pretty well. I think the fact that we use PDFs so much, some of the greatest tools I have are just PDF manipulators. So PDF stands for Acrobat's Portable Document Format, which is pretty much the standard that everybody sends information in, rather than a Word file, which takes up more space and is alterable. A PDF file basically is a visual, graphic, and textual data file. So we just think of them as a PDF as a picture, but there's actually a lot more to them, you know, whether it's fillable PDFs and stuff like that. So there's some great apps, and I work on a Mac, so I'm going to use some Mac terms, but these exist for Windows and other operating systems too. I have one called PDF Pen that allows you to open PDFs, redact information, so just looking like a government document where you want to take out client name or something before you send something. It will allow you to put in signatures. It will allow you to fill in forms and make stuff readable in a pretty simple manner. So if, Howard, you send me a contract, I can open it up in PDF Pen, paste my signature onto it, add the text for the date, add the text for my signature, save it as a PDF, and send it back to you in about a minute. So I don't have to print it, sign it, scan it, send it. I just leave it as a PDF
that
all the way through.
Fabulous. I did not realize that.
Yep. So PDF Pen is just a quick, cheap one. I can merge documents. So if I have four or five PDFs, I want to put them all into one. I just drag and drop them. They're all now one big document. If I have a 30-page renewal and I want to send it to the client, but I want to take out 10 pages, I just pick which pages I want to pull out, and it renumbers them all, does it all, puts it all back together, blah, 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 and away you go. So a great manipulating tool, and again, for Macs, it's called PDF Pen. There's lots of them, though. They're all PDF editors. I have one that's called PDF Unlock, and what it does is it unlocks the restrictions on PDF files that people put on them for strange reasons. Now, this will not unlock a locked PDF, but if you have a PDF that you can't print or you can't copy from, it will remove all those locks and allow you to print it or allow you to cut and paste from it and things like that. For some reason, some of the insurance companies send you PDFs that are locked out like that. So if you want to take a section of the PDF, copy it and paste it in an email, which I do with contracts to a client, you can't do it. You have to unlock it first. Don't ask me why they do it. They do it.
You know, I think that's an outstanding example, Dave, of technology making us better than we really are. Because you could write that same email, attach the locked document, and say what you really want to do is take a look at page 8 and then the third paragraph on page 11.
Yeah.
Well, you're making it super easy for your audience to absorb exactly what they need in the simplest quickest way possible.
And you hit it perfectly. I will attach the full document. I'll attach maybe the employee booklet or the policy or whatever we're referencing. I'll say on page 27, item 3, this is the part that matters, and I'll cut and paste that section in. So they don't have to go into the document. But if they want to see, oh, well, is there more after that or more before that or what section is that in, then they've got both. And it means, yeah, it's a bit above and beyond, I guess.
It's so practical. You know, there's a company in the U.S. that had this great little video they did about how they took data that was most meaningful to their clients at a moment in time and would give those clients that one data point, because we're all overwhelmed at everything that's coming at us, too much email, too much everything. And what is it that matters to me? And they used this wonderful case study of a nationwide fast food chain. What they were able to do in breaking down the data was to send the little location on the Oregon coast the suggestion that here's the quickest, easiest way to sell 6 more Reuben sandwiches every day to an audience that actually wants Reuben sandwiches over anything else. Yeah. And in doing that one act, in asking for that particular sale, you're going to add $24,000 to your bottom line this coming year.
Cool. Eh?
I mean, you can imagine an overwhelmed little franchise owner somewhere out there on the Oregon coast going, what do I make of all this stuff that head office sends me?
Yeah.
And so a company carved a little niche just by specializing, but that's what you're basically doing with this PDF unlock tool.
Yeah. There's a ton of other ones out there, too. One that I've, not so much. I think everybody's getting more comfortable with creating PDFs in meaningful formats. Maybe I assume that. But I have one called PDF Shrink. And, okay, Max, they use very simple names. So, and PDF Shrink just takes a PDF file and makes it smaller without actually compressing it in a compression format. It maintains a PDF format. So you can say, I want to take this document and cut it down to size, and you can preset, you know, how small you want to make it. So if you have a huge policy, and it doesn't have to be perfect, you know, like print quality, then you can reduce it to a file that's, you know, 20% the size of the original file. Will it work? Yeah, it'll work great. It looks great on the screen. It prints out pretty good, but it's not quite perfect. Well, why would you send something that's only pretty good? Well, if we're just trying to reference something quick and we don't want to add a 5 meg file that might get caught in a spam filter, it's a great way to take a larger file and get it across. There's tons of those PDF manipulators. And if I had to say there's one thing that kind of makes life a little bit easier, that definitely makes life a little bit easier. All of them are free, or they sometimes have voluntary, like $20 contribution cost or something.
Fabulous.
I got another one. Can I keep going?
What else you got? Absolutely.
The other one that I think is really cool, and I didn't realize how really cool it was until people kept telling me, wow, that's so cool, which sounds cokey, but is one called Jing, J-I-N-G.
Okay.
And Jing is originally a Mac program, now available for Windows and other operating systems. And basically what Jing does is it lets you capture and take a picture of anything that you can see. So when you open up a browser and you have an article and it doesn't maybe print the way you want, you can just drag a box across it, not the whole screen, just the part you want to capture, and it saves it as a PNG file, which is a photo file, like, kind of like a JPEG. And so you can take your whole screen and capture it. You can take part of a window, part of a document, you know, a little bit of one window, a little bit of another window. If you want to grab a logo off something to use for something, anything you can see, you can capture. And so, again, that makes it really simple. You pull up a copy of a policy, and instead of cut and pasting, what we're going to do is take an image of that page, maybe because it's an unusual formatting or something, and we're just going to drop that into an email. Super fantastic, super easy. Takes about 2 or 3 clicks, so about 4 or 5 seconds. And, again, it's a free or an almost free app. The neat other side, which I don't use very often but is really cool, is you can actually record video as well for up to, I think it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes. So if you have a little bit of a YouTube video you want to capture, again, keeping with all the copyright rules and stuff like that, but or you want to even maybe just show a client something on your screen, you can say, here's the window of the area I want to video capture it, and you can then go click around on the, you know, the screen or show whatever it was you wanted to show, save it, and send that video as a video file. Just great getting information across to clients, you know, quicker, faster, cheaper, easier. And I use that one probably 4 or 5 times a day.
That is very cool. See, I didn't realize that about Jing, because to capture still or areas on my screen, I either use Command F3 and F4 on a Mac.
One takes the whole screen or one takes the window, I think.
Right.
Something like
you
that.
Can adjust the window. But that feature of grabbing a little piece of video that makes that point,
yeah.
Again, with respect for copyright laws and yeah. everything, there's just, you know, a picture, and particularly a video picture,
yeah.
is definitely worth more than 1,000 words.
Yeah. You and I do a lot of speaking stuff and everything. So we might grab 4 or 5 news headlines off, you know, the Toronto Star, the Vancouver Sun, the Montreal Gazette, or whatever, and you just want to grab the headline, and you don't want to get, you know, messier. You just grab it quick off the screen. Like, I mean, it's
right.
It's fast and easy, and it's just going to be the background for a presentation or something. You know, it's just, it's really, really quick and easy.
And again, doing what you just described, I mean, that's one of those things that make us look better than we really are. I mean, you look at the average renewal report or quarterly review report or otherwise, and the text is on all identical. And you talk about using the tools that you just described to throw some attention-getting headlines or other images into that. It's fabulous.
Cool. I think it works. I mean, it just kind of makes everything a little bit better when you're trying to get information across or ideas across.
For sure.
One other one?
Absolutely. Go on.
So this one is because of... because I just got back from 2 weeks of vacation. And so when I'm away, I try and disconnect, but being a solo, you know, operator, I can't totally disconnect. And I have a laptop I take with me that is there's a term for it, but I can't think of the term. It's basically an empty machine. There's nothing on it. There's no client data. There's no employee files, no employer files. There's no CRM. All it is just a basic laptop with you know, Microsoft Word and a bunch of applications that have nothing in them. And what I do is I connect to my office computer and use it to do everything. So from my client's perspective, they see emails coming from my desktop computer. I have full access to all their files and everything through a program called Log Me In. Now, because we're on Macs, there's a great program called Screen Sharing that Mac has. So I can actually open up my screen on my laptop for any of my computers and work like I was at home, as long as I have reasonably fast connection speed. I've used that all over the world, and I very seldom have problems with it. But Log Me In lets me be on somebody else's network, somebody else's computer. I could be in an internet cafe and just go onto a website, log in, and on whatever computer I am, wherever I am in the world, I can then see my whole desktop back at the office. That means my laptop, if it gets stolen, nothing gets lost. My client information is safe. The Log Me In allows me to get in, get out, and leave kind of no mark behind. So it really gives you access anywhere to your files or to your desktop or whichever way you want to use it. And that gives us great access to client files, whether we're traveling for business or pleasure or, you know, whatever, from anywhere in the world.
You know, that is such a great practical suggestion, and you'd mentioned that to me in one of our visits a while back before you headed out on holidays, and I had a Mac here that was surplus to me,
yeah.
And since then I've actually had Coral reconfigure it to do that. I think that is the perfect traveling solution. I am just always nervous, and when leaving the hotel room, make sure it's in the safe, make sure it's locked up, and even then there's no 100% assurances. But when you have the kind of data that we have in this industry, one doesn't even want to think about the consequences. And yes, you can wipe it remotely. Yes, there's all of those features out there, but it's just, why ruin a perfectly good vacation and put your business at risk simultaneously when all of that can be avoided with something as simple as what you just suggested.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know the story. Just before we left on vacation, I had a little bit of a flood in my home office. Just I left a window open. We've had more than the average rainy summer this year, and we had some water that came in through the window, and my laptop happened to be sitting in its bag underneath my desk on the floor right below the window. So as I'm getting ready to go away on vacation, I pull up the laptop just to make sure it's charged up to find out that I got a problem with it. It's not working on battery because the battery got fried and the charging panel on the motherboard got fried. So I have a great computer as long as it's plugged in. Well, that doesn't do me a lot of good when I'm sitting on a boat somewhere sometimes. So I walked out to my Apple store, picked up a new computer, plugged it in, and in about 25 minutes, I had a machine that was good to go on vacation. I wasn't trying to, you know, recreate 100 applications and thousands of files, or actually now it's probably millions of files. So was I upset that I lost a computer worth about $1,000? Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, that's all that it was. Was just an empty computer worth $1,000. So it'll become a backup computer in case somebody needs something to work at on a desk while it's plugged in, and that's about it.
For sure. Now, when you're connecting in an air, I mean, you do a fair amount of traveling, Dave.
Well, no kidding.
What do you do by way of precautions when you're connecting, if anything?
So LogMeIn has an extremely strong encryption process. And what it's doing when you're transferring data, you're actually not transferring files most of the time the way I use it. It's a video feed. So as a result, it's harder to actually hack it. Maybe that's not the right term, but it's not like you're transferring files back and forth where somebody can grab one file and it means something. You're actually doing a video stream. So somebody's just trying to get into it would be in the middle of a video. And it would be a difficult thing to bring it back into a useful manner. And what you'd be seeing is not a transfer of files, but you'd be seeing video transfer. So then you have to take that and make that meaningful to be able to get back to using it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't understand the technology. Don't get me started. But I mean, it's not like I'm just emailing stuff back and forth, which is very open and very public. This is actually quite secure. And the Mac version of screen sharing is as secure as you want to make it as well. So, I mean, you can up and up your safety and stuff. And so it's pretty good. That said, I don't believe anything is foolproof. We've seen that with Sony and Apple, and HBO was hacked last night or on the weekend with Game of Thrones. So even the biggest and best get hacked. So my whole thing is the less client-specific files that are important, the better. So I try not to have scans of evidence of insurabilities or medical information and stuff like that on my computers anymore. We used to keep all that with every enrollment that went in. I don't do that anymore. I don't want all those files sitting on my computer for years and years. Even if on the odd risk that somebody did get into it, I'd prefer that they got in and found next to nothing. So we do keep the system fairly clean. It's not perfect, but it's fairly clean.
Yeah, and it's really about managing the risk, isn't it? One of my boys, we talk about this because both of us live out in rural areas. Yeah. And so just like you were just saying about security on the internet, like there is no such thing as securing your home. But what you want to do is slow people down and also put out the clues that this isn't going to be nearly lucrative enough to bother breaking into. So there's things you do to create that, and that's what I hear you say you've done in the internet world.
You want to hear the best one? I had a friend, this is many years ago, this just came to me. She asked me if she could have my old work boots because I had mentioned that I was going out to buy new work boots, and I had this old beat up pair of work boots that are like size 15 or 14 or 15, because I'm big, tall, big feet. And so I said, these are garbage. Like, I mean, they're mud-encrusted, grease-covered. They've been around for 20 years or something. Like, why do you want my boots? And she goes, they're the best security system ever. I go, why? And she goes, all I do is I leave them at the front door. And I go, okay, so what's that going to do? She goes, would you break into a house where there's a pair of work boots that are size 15 at the front door? Yeah. And I'm like going, actually, I guess probably not. And she goes, so, hey, if you want to give me a pair of work boots when you're going to throw them out, I will gladly put them by my front door, which, you know, has all sorts of funny connotations to it. But really, it's, like you said, it's all about appearances, right? If you're going to get there to that front door and figure out whether you're going to break in and there's that little vestibule with a bunch of, you know, large size shoes, you know, and construction tools, you kind of go, hey, maybe that's not the place to break into. Maybe the place next door is, you know.
Exactly. You know, all of those little things are so important. And, you know, on the notion of security, you know, we believe our computers have certain securities and stuff built into them. But I love what you said. I mean, your email is basically public. There's little or nothing around it that
Absolutely.
One can lock down when somebody wants it. I happen to use a little app called NordVPN, NordVPN.com.
Yeah.
And so they have 1,000 servers scattered throughout the world. Etc. And it funnels it through and it disguises your own identity, etc. There's a bunch of things. I won't go through the entire description that's online in terms of what it does by way of security, but I was talking to a couple of other Nord users, and this was a while back, and they said basically what you've got to understand is any coffee shop or any airport is essentially a smorgasbord for hackers.
Yeah.
And it's not if hackers are in your area. It's how many that are intentionally at that airport or in that coffee shop for one reason, and that is to grab data that they can monetize.
Yeah. So here's a funny one for you. I try not to do work from airports on the free Wi-Fi. We were just in the south of France on a canal boat trip, because there's always a boat trip involved. We were sitting in the airport. Now I'm just trying to think which airport it was. I think we're in Toulouse Airport, and we're sitting there, and we're just stopped for lunch to get a bite, looking for our gate. And sitting on the opposite side of this little cafe was a guy working away on his laptop. And my son looks at me and he goes, "Dad, look at that guy over there. Who's he look like?" I go, "He looks like Malcolm Gladwell." And like he goes, "He is Malcolm Gladwell." I go, "How do you know?" I go, "It looks like him, but who knows?" He goes, "Because he's hotspotting off his iPhone and doing his work, and I can see his computer and his iPhone, but he's not using the free Wi-Fi. He's using his iPhone, and it comes up as Malcolm's iPhone. So you need a password to connect to it." But I mean, so I'm like, that's pretty cool.
That is a
so.
Story.
So you sit there and go, Malcolm Gladwell is sitting in the airport with free Wi-Fi, and he's still using the data package for his phone. And Malcolm Gladwell, for those that don't know, is kind of a neat Canadian, how do you describe Malcolm Gladwell? A neat thinker, philosopher, I don't know what else. I think he's from Waterloo originally, and written a ton of books. And he has a great thing called Alternative History or something. I can't remember what the phrase is. But I mean, just some amazing podcasts as well out there. But anyway, so you know, you're right. He knows, like most people do, I'm assuming, it's a whole lot better to be going through your own system and paying for it than somebody who's free that's wide open. Now, that said, I do use free Wi-Fi. And, you know, I take the security cautions I can. But, again, it's definitely not perfect. And given the choice, I use more stuff over the over my phone and VPN access and stuff.
Yeah, just an unanticipated plug for Malcolm Gladwell, but absolutely his books are awesome reads. Friends and family have recommended Outliers, Blink, The Tipping Point, David and Goliath, What the Dog Saw, and I've read them all over the last 3 or 4 years, and everyone is worth the read.
Yep.
And thanks for sharing.
Okay, and the podcast is called Revisionist History. And there's a couple seasons out, and it is just interesting as heck. They're all 30 or 40 minutes long. They're easily digestible, and they're just neat. My son's connected me with them, and they're just very neat, funny.
Well, and just on the topic of Malcolm Gladwell, his books and his podcast, it takes me to one of my favorite little technology tools, and that's that little thing called Audible. I said I read Malcolm Gladwell's books. Well, they're not on any shelf that I have around here, and I didn't throw them out. They were all on Audible. And I love Audible because I don't always look forward to what it is that keeps me fit and so on. And so when I can combine a book by Malcolm Gladwell or any other interesting book with a run or sitting there on my rowing machine, I love it. And the same goes for the podcast software. And so it is so easy to set up, pick the Malcolm Gladwell channel, take a look at the ones you want to listen to, listen to some teasers, select the ones that you want, download them. And, there would be those days when it's kind of like, no, I just don't have enough time to go running. But I do need to stay current. I need to keep my attitudes and opinions up to date and my knowledge base. Okay, I guess I'm going running for the next 45 minutes.
There you go. There you go. So the other one, can I mention one more app? Just
please do.
Or two. I mean, WeTransfer is great, but Dropbox is maybe a bit more robust, and that's been around for a long time. If people are looking for a place to hold information or share information with clients or other people in their office, so there's another one that's free to start with or near free and affordable if you want to pay for it and increase the size of the files. And you and I started off this phone call with a bit of a conversation about recording phone calls. And it's probably one question on technology I get asked more than anything. And that is, I talk about my phone recording system where every single call, including this one, going in and out, and every voicemail message is all recorded, stored on a hard drive on a computer in my office. And the company that I used for many years, is actually out of business now. And they don't update the software. It's an old piece, and it's sitting on an old computer that does nothing but run the software just for my phone system. And I think that's fantastic because it helps my memory. It helps keep everybody honest when it's all being recorded, and it gives us a record. So if we want to go back to protect a client or to maybe to refresh the memory of a client or an insurance company about something we talked about, it's a great tool. And although it's not available for purchase anymore, I actually just spoke to this morning a company that's put together a cloud-based VoIP, Voice Over an Internet Protocol, phone recording system, and they're just kind of launching the whole thing right now. And we are probably a great target market for it. For $10 to $20 a month, you'd have a system that can record all your calls, keep them in the cloud for you, back them up, such that if you ever need to reference them, you can just pull them down. And that's just kind of a neat new technology that's just being kind of born right now. I've been looking for something for about 5 years to refer people to and haven't found one. So there'll be more on that one if and when it makes it to the marketplace, which should be in the coming months, sometime late this fall.
That sounds absolutely amazing. And please, yes, do keep us tuned in on that. And yes, full disclosure, Dave and I, just before jumping on to do this podcast here, Dave, we were talking about the frustration of good software for recording calls. I don't know how we would frame the ups and downs in terms of the reliability of the voice over internet protocol as a phone system, but just before we jumped onto the call, you noticed that my voice over internet was clipping my words, and it was going to be completely unacceptable for this podcast. And so literally as we started the podcast, I was downloading a new little app that you found for me, Dave, called Just Press Record. And I'm going to be trying it between now and the next podcast, so we'll report out on that as well.
And that's a great thing. I mean, we were talking on the phone, and you're going, okay, I just spent 99 cents. I just downloaded an app. And, you know, in 5 minutes, you're using it. I mean, that didn't happen. I mean, we used to go to the store and, you know, look these up, try and find an expert where there wasn't any, you know, walk home with a box, install the discs, and read a whole pile of books. And, I mean, now it's all such small, bite-sized, and extremely affordable little apps that it does make technology a whole lot easier and makes us all much more effective and efficient at what we do.
Totally. And loved your mention of Dropbox. Between Dropbox and a little kind of, I call it my contractor management program. It goes by the name of Basecap and is created by the guys from 37 Signals. But I have no staff, and yet I have a tech team, an Excel expert, a PowerPoint expert, a podcast editor, and I know where everything is at as of this moment because I can look in Basecamp at each of those categories. I can see where Coral is at in terms of arranging the next event, what tasks have been done, what tasks need to be doing, and then where the linkage with Dropbox is, the recording will, I will put it in a shared file on Dropbox, and my contractor will pick it up sometime over the next day or two. He's on a 48-hour turnaround on these things.
Yeah.
He'll pick it up, go through, edit it, and put it back into the file, at which point I can send a text, a Slack notification, or an email to the tech team. They will pick up the file, and it'll become live. And that's why you're listening to this podcast right now, because of that little process using Basecamp and Dropbox.
Yeah, it's all in knowing who's doing what and trying to keep track of it all. And I just, while we've been speaking, an email came in from my tech guy who's working on my WordPress site to upload the plugin Jetpack to connect my blog to my WordPress data file, which I don't understand any of what I just said. But he's,
you don't have to.
But I don't have to. He's going to have it all done, and my blog will be back up and running in no time. My mainstay site, so that, you know, the clients can keep getting what they get, and, you know, people can subscribe to it and all that kind of stuff. So knowing the right people definitely makes life easier.
So we've kind of covered a bunch of stuff here. CRS, PDF pen, PDF unlock, PDF shrink, Jing, log me in, screen sharing, NordVPN, Dropbox, and more. And we're just getting warmed up.
So, no kidding. Okay, now can I put in a little plug here? You can cut this out if you want.
Absolutely. No.
First of all, none of this would be possible today without Laurie McNeil. I don't know what he has to do with technology. I don't know what he has to do with my business, or I know what he has to do with your business, but I just thought we had to throw his name in at least once just to say thank you.
Or twice.
Yeah, Laurie McNeil twice. There we go.
Laurie McNeil four times.
If we have to. So I have on my CGIB website started a little page on my lists and links page called Helpful Howard's Apps. The apps that you've suggested to me, some of the ones that I use, and we put links on there. Are you going to distribute maybe some of these through the Benefits Genius membership list?
Absolutely.
As well? So I don't know how many people grab them and use them, but being a member of Benefits Genius Group or being a CGIB member or both, there's a kind of a great way to link and grab some of those. And like you said, we've just touched on a few. Like, I mean, there's a whole lot more that are up there. And the list just gets longer every day as other people throw stuff out and mention it to me as well.
Absolutely. Invite our audience to make contact and let us know what you're using, why you're using it, and most importantly, what it does for your business, what it's doing to create your bigger future and create better, more efficient you. You know, Dave, I love what you said at the beginning as you were talking first about the CRM and how it allowed you to connect with your audience, a specific audience,
yep,
faster and in a more meaningful way with more relevant information than even their own advisor was getting to them.
Yeah, and it's not hard to do. I mean, information is king. You know, in the old days, the king had the gold and therefore he was the ruler. Now it's information. And you may have, you know, more cases on the books and stuff, but if you're not getting out and connecting with those prospects, if you're not, you know, educating your clients, if you're not disseminating information and, you know, have an easy way of doing it, then it's just a matter of time. You're watching your business erode. And the only saving grace from all this is there's so much business out there that quite often people don't even notice the erosion, and they're just working hard to bring in new business and don't realize that the other stuff's walking out the door, where it doesn't have to be that hard a job to hold on to people. And if you're in the growth mode, to attract new people if you've got great information.
Absolutely. And as your audience, many of whom will be much, much less tech savvy as they see us using these tools,
yeah,
it creates a whole new perception and one where we're actually justifiably and very tangibly and specifically viewed as the subject matter authority that they can trust.
Yeah.
And that's really what any sale is, whether it's a new sale or a renewal sale. It's that transfer of trust.
Yep, you said it.
Well,
is that a good place to end for now?
We will end here for now. Stay tuned for part two because, as Dave said, we're just getting warmed up, and it's a ton of fun. And again, let us know what you're using. You can shoot me a note anytime from anywhere, it appears, to howard@benefitsgenius.ca. And where would you like the note sent to you, Dave?
Oh, don't call me for tech support. I don't do that. Keep it simple. dave@cgib.ca is the easiest place to get a hold of me.
That's awesome. Stay tuned.
Thanks for having me.